begin the current Daven Sech, the Shabbos Daven Lamed Aleph. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, 5 lines from the bottom of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous Daf, which spoke about the amazing incident that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his son had fled from the Caesar, who had decreed that he should die because he was part of a three Talmid Chacham that had, so to speak, spoken about the Romans, and he was the one that spoke bad about them, that they do it all for their own pleasures, for their own evil decrees. So therefore, they wanted to kill him, and he got away, and he was rescued for 12 years, 13 years, that they had the tree, the carob tree, and the stream of water that went through, and he was saved. So the Gemara says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, after this whole incident, he said, Amar Hayu B'Srachash Nisa, since a miracle happened for me, unbelievable, he was 13 years that he survived just in the sand, and he had these two miracles that the carob tree and the water was created for him. Ezel Askin Milsa, let me go ahead and remedy something that is just like Yaakov Avinu did when he was saved from Esav, as the Pasuk said, Dechsiv Yove Yaakov Shalim, that Yaakov came intact, and this was after his interaction with Esav. It says, V'amar Rav, and Rav explained, what does it mean that he came back intact? Shalom Begufoy, that means he was intact in his body, that he was healed from when he fought with the Sarish Leisav, with the angel that had hit him by his Gidan Nasha. Shalom b'mamayna, he was complete in his money, that he didn't lose any of his resources. And shalom b'tayrasay, that he was complete in his Torah, again, spiritually, physically, economically, he was complete in all different facets. And therefore, he was very appreciative that he didn't forget any of his learning, although it was, so to speak, a long trip. So it says afterwards, in the Pesukim, it says, v'yichan es p'nei ir, that he went and he encamped before the city. So the Gemara, Darshan, Zamar Rav, what does it mean that he encamped in front of this city? Matbeya tikun lehem, that he minted a new coin, he established a new coin for the people of the city. Ushmol Amar Shmuel says that what he did to remedy things for the community. Amar Shvakim tikun lehem, he said that he established for them marketplaces. Rabbi Yechon Amar Mechatzoy tikun lehem, that he made for them bathhouses. And that is all these different Amirom are making a drush on the Pasuk. Vayichan is Pnei Ir. The Loshon Vayichan comes from the word chen and chani, which means to be gracious and to give matana. So therefore, that was his idea, that he was Vayichan, that he gave matana, and therefore, because he was grateful and he was happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved him with all these different facets, so therefore he gave something back to the community. Or another pshat is that it says Vayiken as chilkas asada, that comes from the same word, although it means to acquire, it's from the same word as tikken, that like it says, that tikken, he was masakin either the matveh, the new coin, or the marketplace, or the bathhouses, so therefore he gave something back. So therefore, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai wanted to learn the lesson. Amai ikka milsa de boilis gune. So he asked, is there something that needs improvement that I could help to give back, so to speak, as an appreciation for what Hashem did to me? So Amrulay, they said to him, ikka duchta de ispe sabak tumah. There's a certain place which has in it a questionable status of tumah that people don't know is it tumah or is it not. And we'll continue on to the top of Lamadala Madalaf. The islu would sar lakam lakufa, and it's very difficult for the kam to circumvent the area. And that is, this was in the marketplace where there was an area which was unclear the status, which was a juncture for the main part of the city. And the Kaim couldn't go over there because of Tumah, so they had to go around the long road, and it was very challenging for them. And because Kayanim are not allowed to become Tamei. So Amar, so Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said, Ikke inish the other deschazik hachatahara, does anyone know over here that there was at any point a presumption that there was purity over here, that in this marketplace ever, from his days, that it wasn't a complete cemetery? And therefore, that in other words, to know that it wasn't really a place of Tumah. So Amalei Ahu Sabbath, this elder person spoke up and he said, Kan Kitzitz Ben Zakeh to Masei Tumah. Here in this place, which is a place where they had this questionable status of Tumah, he says that Ben Zakeh, he cut the Tumasei of Tumah. That is, he planted and then he, so to speak, he went and he cut off after it grew. These were Tumasei Tumah, which had to be kept in the Matzav of Tahara. And Ben Zakeh was also a Kohen, as the Tosefta Masechtas Para says. So therefore he was trying to show that there was at one point a Chazakah, a presumption that this place was Tahar, because we have a Kohen that went ahead and planted something here, and he did take his fruits from here. So the Gemara says, Abed Ihu Nami Hachi. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he did the same thing. He went and he cut Tumasim of Tumah there also, and he threw it down over there, and a miracle happened. And that is, if there was a corpse over there, so then it would float to the top, and then he would mark down that there was a kever. As the Gemara says, Kol hechad avakashi tavri. Wherever the ground was hard, then he made it, he said that area is pure, because that means no one was ever buried. There was hard ground. Kol hechad avarafi tzayin, but wherever the earth was soft, that is, that means it was worked, it was at least someone had dug up something at once, then he marked it off. And that was a place where the Kohen weren't allowed to go. And therefore he was masakin for them a way to get through that area without having to go around, because now we knew what place was tar and what was tameh. So Amahu Saba, Tir ben Yechi basic first. So that elder person says, oh, ben Yechi, the son of Yechi, in reference to B'Shem Yechai, he's purifying cemeteries. In other words, this is a place that everyone for many years did not go there because of the Suffolk of Tamai. Now he goes ahead and he lets the Kanim go there. So Amalei, so B'Shem Yechai responded to him, Il Moli Hayisimonu, had you not been with us in this Maimid when we went ahead and made this conference to figure out and to show that there was places that were tar and some were Tamai. So therefore, how can you say such a thing? And even if you were with us in this Maimed that you were here and you were witness to what we did, and that you were not counted among us, so yafa taima. So it's fine what you're saying, that you could say what's going on, how could you say it's tahar? For many years no one knows that it was, everyone thought maybe it's tamei. But now that you were with us, you witnessed what happened, and you were counted among us, in other words, you agreed to what we were doing, to be part of this minion of people, to show what was tahar and what was tamei. So yemer, now people are going to say, Zaynus mefarches zuazu, that harlots, they braid each other's hairs, that the other harlot should be beautiful. Tamin chacham lekolshken, so us Torah sages, we should be any less than that? If prostitutes, they go ahead and beautify one the other and that they're not jealous of one the other and they work in tandem, are we any less? And now you're going to go ahead and say what we did is wrong? Yov be'ein ibnach nafshe, so he placed his eyes on him, he gazed at him, and he passed away. Nafak l'shuk, he went out to the marketplace. Chazi Yehuda ben Gerim. He saw Yehuda ben Gerim, as we recall from the previous daf, he was the one that started this whole story because there were three Talmidei Chacham, Rishim Meichai amongst them, and Yehuda ben Gerim went out and said this whole story, what went on among them, being that Rishim Meichai said that the Romans, they do all the things for themselves, and that's why they wanted to kill him. So Amar Adayin Yesh Lazeh Ba'olam. So Rishim Meichai said, this person is still here in the world? In other words, he caused such havoc, such destruction, had to run away for 13 years? So he put his eyes on him, he gazed at him, and he turned him into a heap of bones. And that is like someone that was dead, that his flesh was totally decomposed, and that it fell off a long time. That's what he became. And that is, he caused him to die. Now we continue the next Mishnah, where the Mishnah continues the theme of the Mishnais of this parak, talking about the lighting of the Ner Shabbos, of the Chiv to light candles, Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, Gimel Dvarm, there are three things that every man has to say in his house, Erev Shabbos, as it's getting dark. And that is because if one would say these things early in the day, so then people would be negligent and they'd say, oh, we still have time. So there, but these things have to be said, Im Chashecha, that is right before it's getting dark. The first question is, Isartim, did you tithe the fruits of the tree for the Suda of Shabbos? That is because even, although generally a Mechilas Arai, which is a temporary type of eating, is not koveya for ma'isa, does not obligate someone to ma'isa. But even the achilas aray of Shabbos is koveya that establishes that there is a chiv of ma'isa, as the Gemara Masechtas Beis says, because Shabbos is called oinig, and therefore whatever amount it is already considered oinig, and therefore you have to make sure that all the fruits are tithed, because then you can't have it, or else it's going to have a din of tevel, even if it's, so to speak, a snacking type of a food, which generally does not require taking off ma'isa. The second point is iraftim. Did you make an Erev? And that includes both an Erev Tchum, and that if we have to go out of the Tchum 2,000 Amos, and then another 2,000 Amos, so you make an Erev Tchumen, which is a meal out there, and then an Erev Chatzeris, which is also to make a joint, so to speak, that when there's two different houses that want to share the same courtyard, then you have to make an Erev Chatzeris to make it considered as one Rishus. And these two things, they are set in a question. That is, maybe that they were done or not, you don't know. But regarding the next one, regarding the candle, you can't ask because it's something that's obvious. Yes or no, you can see. So therefore, the next one, Hadlikus Aner, is that he tells them, light the candles. And that is, again, this is not something that he asked. The first two he asked, did you tithe, did you make an Erev? And here he says, light the candle. Now the Mishnah continues, Savach HaShecha, Savach Enech HaShecha. Let's say it's already in doubt, if it's already nighttime or it's not, which is, for example, Bein HaShmash is the twilight period, which is then you're not allowed to take Meisra on something that's definitely Tevel, because that's a true Tikkun. And although it's just a shvus, it's so to speak an isidra abanan, however, still this Tana holds that they were geyser on the shvus, even by Bein HaShmash, that an isidra abanan, that's Asr and Shabbos, it applies even to Bein HaShmash, although that's a time period which is not clear if it's even Shabbos or not. However, they instituted, this Tana holds that they instituted the isidra of shvus even during Bein HaShmash. So therefore, as the Mishnah says, in ma'asin esavadai, you're not allowed to take off tithe, but from that what's certainly untithe, that Maisa was not taken off. Because that's Isidra Bani, and I'll do that on Shabbos. Similarly, ve'im atvil nasa kelim. You're not allowed to immerse the kelim that needs to have tvilas kelim before you go ahead and use it if it was purchased from a non-Jew. Because again, that's also ishvus, it's ishra bonin, as the Gemara Masechet Beis says, because that seems like mesakin kli, it seems like you're fixing something, which is also on Shabbos. Since you couldn't use it before you immersed it, now after you immersed it, you could use it. So therefore, that's ishra bonin, and that you can't do either during the time period of Ben Hashmashas. And also the Imad Likan Nesaneris, not allowed to light the candles, and that's a kol shekin, because that would be already a suffix deraisa, because lighting is a isra havar, malacha deraisa. And it's really, as many times Mishnahis do, it's zuva in tzarech lemezur. That is, obviously, you can't do that also, because that would be not only a suffix drabana as the other case, but even a suffix deraisa. However, although it's ben hashmashas during time of twilight, av ma'asen es ha-demai, but you could take off ma'aser on demai, which is, so to speak, that's fruits, produce that you buy from an amaretz, from an ignoramus, because that does not seem like masakin, as it does by the other case when you take off meiser from something that's definitely tevel, because most amaretz and most ignoramus, they really do take meiser, and it's only a takanas chacham that you have to take off meiser from demai. So therefore, during the time period of Ben Hashmashas, we allow you to take off meiser from demai. So, moreover, arvin, that you're allowed to make an erev, and the Gemara is going to ask, in the first half of the Mishnah, we said it with the things that have to be done before it gets dark. And that is before the time period that it's a suffix. And here we go ahead and we say that you could even make an Erev during the time period when it is a suffix, if it's dark or not. And then the Mishnah concludes, that you're allowed to insulate the hot foods during the time period of Ben Hashmashas. And that is, you put it in a basket that has muchen, which is, so to speak, different types of rags, but it's something that only preserves the heat, but it doesn't increase it. However, if it would be already definitely dark, definitely Shabbos, then you wouldn't be able to even totally put something and wrap it in something that it's going to be totally encompassed, and then it's going to be insulated. That would be us even on Shabbos. However, regarding something that adds heat, that's even us even on Erev Shabbos. So here during the time period of Ben Hashmashas, we're talking about something that does not add heat. However, although it's us on Shabbos, during Ben Hashmashas, we allowed it. So now the Gemara discusses, we said that the Erev Shabbos, one of the things you have to say is light the candles. The husband has to say this. The Gemara says, anonymously, where do we know this? That it's incumbent upon the husband to make sure that the wife lights the candles. Or Meshu ben Levi, Amar Krabba, because it says in the Pasuk, if you doubt it, you shall know, ki sholem o'alechem, that there will be peace in your tent, ufakadet o'navechem, that you will command your abode, your house, v'lei sechtem, and then you won't come to sin. And that's the concept, that to have peace in one's tent, which is the concept of the Ner Shabbos, which the candle of Shabbos that promotes Shalom Bayis, people can see it, no one's stumbling over things. So that's how we see that. That's a difficulty, that you should command your house, and then it won't come to sin. That's the idea where we see that a person should command that they should light the Ners of Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Avagav D'Omer Rabbanan Shleish Dvar Mitzorach Adam Leim B'chulo. Although we said in our Mishnah that there are three things that a person has to say before Shabbos, because he has to make sure that everything's taken care of. He has to say it gently, and that is so that they should accept from him, because if he's going to come and say, what's going on? Things are not ready. If you don't light the candles yet, then that's not going to promote Shalom Bayis. It's not going to make them promote them and motivate them to actually take care of what they have to. So the Gemara comments, Amar Rav Ashi, I didn't hear this halacha. That is, all our halachas are messiahs from Moshe Mishina, but v'kayim to misvara. I fulfilled this out of reasoning, out of logic. It only makes sense that you're not going to get people to accomplish things if you don't say it politely and gently, because if you're going to scream, it's not going to accomplish anyway. So now the Gemara goes back and says, Haguva Kasha, there's an inherent contradiction over here, as we mentioned before in the Mishnah. There are three things that a person has to say Erev Shabbos, when it's still day, and there's still time that you can take off Maisa and you can make an Erev. That is before it gets dark. That is im chashecha in, that it's if it's when it's almost getting dark, then yes, but sabach chashecha, sabach in chashecha lai. But if it's already a doubtful period, bein hashmashes, then one cannot do these three things. Vadatani, sabach chashecha, sabach in chashecha ma'arev. Yet the second half of the Mishnah says that one of the things we could do during the time period of bein hashmashes, when it's doubtful already, if it's already nighttime or not, is that you could go ahead and make an erev tchum and erev chatzeres. Yet in the first half of the Mishnah, it says it has to be before it gets dark. So the Gemara brings a siman, all the different statements from the following Amori that we're going to quote, that is Begufya Zimra, that in itself there's a pruning, Tzipra, a bird, Bechavlo de Milsa, in the rope of wool. And these are all different words that symbolize different sugyas from the same Amori that we're going to quote coming up. Now the Gemara gives the answer for this question about, can you make an Erev Ben Hashmashas, or does it have to be before? Amrav Abba, Amrav Chia, Bar Ashi, Amrav. This is the Amori that we're going to have the following halachas from. Loikasha, because kan be'er t'chumin, kan be'er chatzeres. When we said that it has to be done before it gets dark, that's talking about erev t'chumin regarding how far one can go out of the city limits regarding going up to 4,000 amas. Here where we said that it could even be done during the time period when it's maybe doubtful if it's night or not, that's in reference to erev chatzeres. That's when the joint courtyard between two different households that they could join together, that could even be done during Bein HaShemash. And the reason is because erev t'chumin, the limits of how far a person can walk on Shabbos, that is a true tikkun. That is because the Rabbanon were Seimech, Tchumen, they established it based on the Psukim. And even according to the one, there's a Machlekes, if Tchumen is Minatoyra or not. But even the one that holds it's Midrabbanon, as the Gemon Ervin says, that we learn out Mokim, and we learn a Mokim from Nisa, so therefore it's based on Psukim. But regarding Erev Chatzeres, it's really just a Chumra Ba'alma. And it's not even called a true Shvisa. That is that one cannot create a Shvisa on Shabbos. Here it's not really true Shvisa because really it is a Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, during the time period of this Suffolk, this doubtful time period of Bein HaShemashes, it would be permitted to make Erev Chatzeres. And that's the difference. The first half, which said it has to be done before Shabbos, or Erev Techumen. The second half was talking about Erev Chatzeres. So related to this topic, the Gemara brings Amar Rava regarding to Erev Techumen. Amar Lo Shnayim, if two people tell somebody, Tzeva Arvelein, go ahead and make for us an Erev Techumen. We want to be able to go a certain distance on Shabbos, go ahead and put our meals over there that we need to make Erev Techumen. So le'echad Erev lo me'ba'idyam. One person, he made their Erev, he put out their peanut butter and matzah, whatever, you have to make a meal. He puts it out from before Shabbos. Le'echad Erev lo ben hashmashah. So one of them, he made an Erev for them, ben hashmashah, during the time period when it's twilight already. So the Gemara explains, Zeh she'erev lo me'ba'idyam. What happened was that the one that he made the Erev when it was already before Shabbos, so that case, nechal Eruv ben hashmashah. What happened was that his Erev was eaten during the time period of Bein HaShemashes. Therefore, he put his Erev at the end of the boundary where he was able to walk 2,000 amas out of the city limits when it was still day. However, it didn't get a chance for it to get truly dark, and that is the time of Bein HaShemashes, when it's doubtful night or not, it was already consumed. And then, B'zesh Erev of Bein HaShemashes, Nechal Erev Mishach HaShecha, and the one that he had made the Erev, he had placed it only there during the time period of twilight, it was eaten when it was already nighttime. So the Gemara says, Shneim konu Erev. Both of them acquire their Erev. And that is, regarding the one that his Erev was eaten during Bein HaShemashes, we consider that Bein HaShemashes was already nighttime. And therefore we say that it was already, Shabbos had started when the Erev was still extant, it was still there. And therefore your Erev is kainah. That is, the Erev has to be there when Shabbos is starting. And although it was eaten at a later time, as long as the Erev was there, his Shvisa, his place of where his locus, of where he was already there, and therefore he can go another 2,000 amas later over there. And therefore we view it already that in the beginning of Bein HaShemashes, it started night. And that is, as the Gemara is going to say, the halacha is like a b'yasi, that he says to Maseches Erevin, that a suffik Erev is kosher. And therefore, regarding the one that his Erev was put to Bein HaShemashes, and then it was lasted until it was dark, and then only after it was dark it got eaten, for him we consider Bein HaShemashes that it was already, that it was still day. And that is, it wasn't night time before he had put it down. So therefore it comes out that at the time when it was Shabbos, his Erev was kind of him, because although he put it during Bein HaShemashes, we say, oh, Bein HaShemashes is really daytime, and therefore it was only, he had put it down there when it was still day. So therefore it was there when Shabbos started, his Erev was already there. And that is, for each one, we're doing something the exact opposite. That one had been put down before Shabbos, and during Bein HaShemashes it was consumed, so maybe it wasn't there when it was Shabbos was starting. We say, no, Bein HaShemashes is already nighttime, and therefore it was there during Shabbos. Versus the other one that was only put to Bein HaShemashes, and that it was eaten later on. In other words, it lasted through Shabbos. We say Bein HaShemashes was day, and therefore it was there when Shabbos started. To which Gemara asks, Monafshach. Either way, it's challenging. Because I Bein HaShemashes Yimamahu, if we say that the time period of twilight is considered day, so Basra Likni, Kamalo Likni. So then let the later one, the one had put it down there during Bein HaShemashes, and was only eaten after it got dark, let him acquire his Erev, because it was put down there when it was day, and therefore when Shabbos started, his Erev was there already, because he had put it down before, and in other words, during daytime, versus the one that did it earlier, that he put it down there before Bein HaShemashes, and then it was consumed during Bein HaShemashes, Bein HaShemashes is still day. So therefore it was eaten up before it got dark. When Shabbos started, his Erev wasn't there, and therefore he did not establish his Shvisa, his locus of where he was, so to speak, keeping Shabbos, was not there, so therefore he should not acquire his Erev. And the same thing in reverse. If Bein HaShemashes Lelihu, if we say Bein HaShemashes is considered nighttime, so Kama Likni, Basuloi Likni. So therefore, let the first one that put it down there acquire. In other words, he put it down there during the day, and it was consumed during Bein HaShemashes. It doesn't make a difference. It was already nighttime when he got to Bein HaShemashah, so therefore it was already acquired for him. Versus the one that put it on later, that only put it down during Bein HaShemashah, and that it didn't. It was eaten later, it was already put down too late, because Bein HaShemashah is nighttime, and he put it down there after Shabbos started. So the Gemara says, Bein HaShemashah Sveiku. In truth, twilight is doubtful. Either way, we don't know if it's nighttime or daytime. And therefore, the halacha is Sveika Drabana Lekula. That is, when we have a doubt regarding a rabbinic halacha, we say that we go leniently. And that is, we're not sure if Bein HaShemashah is night or day. And since this halacha of Erev Tchumen is Drabanan, so therefore we say that the Suffolk goes Lekula. As we mentioned before, the Rebbeitzi holds that Suffolk Erev is Kasher, and therefore we're going to go Lekula. And therefore, both them, their Erev will work for them. That is, although each one has to have one for night, one for day, either way, we're going to say both their Erevs are good. Now the Gemara continues with a few other statements from Rava that we mentioned before in the Gemara regarding this halacha of when one person tells two people tell one person to make the Erev Tchumen for them, and he makes one Bein HaShemashah and one earlier. That now, regarding this halacha of Hatmona, this Isra on Shabbos, but from Erev Shabbos and on Shabbos, of Hatmona, of fully insulating a food item. And that is, there's two Isra, is one of before Shabbos, is one on Shabbos. The Isra on before Shabbos is, although you're having it ready from before Shabbos, is it cannot be fully insulated with something that adds and increases heat to it. And there's another Isra Hatmona of, even on Shabbos, one can't do it if it's even not adding heat, even if it's just, so to speak, preserving the heat. If it's being done on Shabbos, that can be done. The Rav is going to explain the reason for those two Isurim of Hatmana. So, Amar Rava, Mevneima Amru Ein Toimnim Bedavish Shein Meisav Ha'el Meshach HaShecha. Rava says, why did the Chacham say that we're not allowed to insulate hot food in a material that increases the heat? Again, that is the Isur of Hatmana, as we learned in the Mishnah. It says, V'toim Nesachamen, that were allowed to insulate something that was hot. We said that's only because it was Safek HaShecha, it was doubtful, it was dark or not. But if it was definitely dark, then we wouldn't be able to do Hatmana. And that is Stam Hatmana, when it just says the word Hatmana, it's talking about something that even it does not increase the heat, it's just preserving the heat. Because if it would be adding heat, as we just mentioned, that would be even us, even before Shabbos, as the Gemara in the fourth paragraph is going to say, that ain't terminally begefas of a chul, you're not allowed to insulate something, even on Erev Shabbos, with something to set as heat. So in our Mishnah, he says that during the time of twilight, we could insulate with something that it just preserves the heat, but at nighttime, not. So the question Rabbi is saying is, why did we say that you can't insulate something on Shabbos? Why can't you take a hot kugel, whatever it is, and totally wrap it around and preserve that heat on Shabbos? So Rabbi says, Gzeres Shamir Tich, we're concerned, it was decreed that maybe a person is going to go ahead and boil something. And that is, maybe he's going to find his pot that it got cold. And now he's going to go ahead, he's going to see it's getting cold, he's all worried, it's not even, the Shabbos meal didn't start. So he's going to want to insulate it after it's already Shabbos. And he's going to go ahead and first heat it up, because he's going to, you know, first heat up, then I can, so to speak, preserve what's there. And it's going to come out that it's mevashel on Shabbos, that he cooked on Shabbos. So therefore, we don't allow him to, so to speak, wrap it up and insulate and preserve it, because as he's going to do that on Shabbos, he might go ahead and, so to speak, heat it up first to stoke the coals before he goes ahead and wraps it up. So Abaye says, if that's the case, so even twilight, why do our Mishnah say that it's mutter? We should make a decree there also. And that is because this is a bona fide Shavuos, the Issa Drabanan, that's also to do on Shabbos. Because there is an Issa Drabanan that you might come to do Issa Deiraisa, as we said, that you might come to be Mevashel, or do Havar, you might come to stoke the coals. And the town of our Mishnah holds that we are Glazer Shavuos and Issa Drabanan during the time period of Bein HaShemashah, as our Mishnah said, that Ema Asin is Avadi, and I'll go ahead and take Meiser on something that's definitely Tavel, although that's only Issa Drabanan because it's some type of Masakin, like you're fixing it. That, but during Bein HaShemashah, we are guys of this town that holds. So therefore, here also there's a bona fide Shavuos, Isra Banan, of the Isra of doing Hatmana in something that does not increase heat. So why is it mutter during Bein HaShemashah? So in principle, Rava agrees, but he says, Amalei, Stam Kederis Roishchen. The reason why is a technical reason why it's not Asra Bein HaShemashah, because an ordinary pot is still boiling during Bein HaShemashah. And that is because he just took it off the fire. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that maybe it's going to be cold and that he's going to want to stoke the coals before he goes ahead and preserves it, because it's still boiling hot. So therefore, Bein HaShemashah, we said that there is no Isser about going ahead and doing Hatmana on that on Bein HaShemashah. Now, related to this, Amar Rav, and Rav says, and we continue on to Amud Beis, Mivneima Amru, in Taimnim Medava HaMois of Hevel, Vafel Mibayim. As we mentioned, there are two different Isser Drabana regarding insulating Hatmana. That is, one is from on Shabbos that we just mentioned, that even in something that does not increase the heat. But then there's even on Erev Shabbos, now I'll go ahead and wrap something up if it's together with something that increases the heat. So why do we say that you can't do that if it's before Shabbos? As the Mishnah says later in the fourth parak, that you can't do it not with Gefes, which is a type of a lime, or not with Zevel. And that's even if that you're doing this atmana when it's still before Shabbos. So what's the reason why that's us? So the Gemara says, "Gzeira shemiyatmin beremet sheyesh begachelus." The reason is we're concerned that maybe you're going to head and insulate it with ashes that have a coal with it. In other words, the ashes are mixed together with the coal, and therefore we say you're not allowed to go ahead and wrap it even without that type of a case. But Amali Abaye v'yatmin. So Abaye says, "What do you mean? Go ahead. Why can't, if it's before Shabbos? What's wrong with insulating this kugel, this chicken soup, this chalon with ashes that have a coal in it? What's the problem?" This Rava said, "Gzeirah shemiyachad begachom." The reason why is because that type of case is a problem. When you would go ahead and insulate with ashes that have a coal that has some type of heating element, that you might come to rake the coals. And that is, if you see on Shabbos that you see that it's not as hot as you want it to be, then you might come to stoke the coals, as we're going to learn in the next parak regarding the different things that one has to put, like a blech, because we're concerned you might stoke the coals. So therefore, we would glaze even on something that's fully cooked until you put ashes on the coals or you take away the coals. If that's not done, therefore we said you're not allowed to insulate even then before Shabbos if it's something that adds heat, because you might have a case not only does it add heat, but it's like a type of a coals that you can stoke it. And therefore on Shabbos you might come to rake it a little bit to make it hotter. That's why we say even on Arab Shabbos one's not allowed to insulate something with a heating element that adds heat, because it might be a type of a case that it adds heat that is, so to speak, applicable to be able to stoke it and rake it, and that would be a concern that someone might come to do the Isser of Havara on Shabbos. Now we continue. The Gemara goes back to the topic of the Mishnah, which spoke about Bein HaShemashes. We said that different things is allowed on Bein HaShemashes, and other things are not. So now the Gemara discusses exactly what is the time period of Bein HaShemashes. Tanabon, Bein HaShemashes, regarding the time period of twilight, which is not clear if it's day or if it's night. The Braisa says, "Savik min hayoyim u min halayla." It's doubt if it's part of the day or if it's part of the night. In other words, maybe it's part day, part night. "Savik kulam hayoyim." There's also doubt if maybe the time period of Bein HaShemashes is totally day. And "Savik kulam min halayla." It's also doubt whether it's totally nighttime. And therefore, there's three different svekas, three different doubts, whether it's half and half, whether fully day, or whether fully night. So therefore, the Braisa says, "Matila noisi l'chemish nayam." Therefore, we give it the stringencies of both days. And that is, the Gemara later is going to explain what is it. So we understand it maybe has a stringency of day or a stringency of night. But what is the first doubt that it maybe it's part day or part night? What is that special stringency? So now the Braisa explains, "Veizehu bein hashmashes." What is exactly is the time period of twilight of bein hashmashes? So the Braisa says, "Mishetishka hachama," from when the sun sets, "kolzman shepnei mizrach madimen," as long as the eastern face of the sky is reddening. And that is hichsef hatachdoin for the hichsef elyon. That's bein hashemashes. And that is the bottom of the horizon has darkened, but the upper part of the horizon of the sky has not darkened. That's the time period of bein hashemashes. And that is when the eastern sky is reddening. It seems like that is some type of like this redness in the clouds, and the bottom part of the horizon has darkened. The upper part of the, so to speak, of the dome of the earth that doesn't get dark as quickly, that's still light, that's called the time period of twilight. The Gemara later is going to ask, what are we saying? Because it seems to be an internal contradiction between the end and the beginning. That is, the beginning says that it's even an earlier time, even if it's just the east is red, that's before the time period of when the horizon on the bottom is dark. So the Gemara is going to ask, it seems to be an internal contradiction. Hichsefo elyoin v'hishva l'tachtoin zeo laila. However, if the upper part of the horizon now got the same color, it's the same as the bottom of the horizon, that they're both dark, that's considered nighttime. Div Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechem Yoim, Rabbi Nechem says, what's the time period of Bein HaShemashes? He argues, he says, "Kishi halach odam mishatishka chama chatzimil." It's the time that it takes for a person to walk from when the sun sets, a half a mil, that is the time period of Bein HaShemashes. And that is, after a half a mil, it's night, and that's approximately around 9 minutes, according to many different shittas. Rabbi Yosi says that the period of twilight is like the blink of an eye, and that is zenichnis b'zayyotzi, that night enters and the day leaves, and that is when this one leaves, this one comes. That's the time period, what's called bein hashmashes, and anything before that is considered fully day. And v'ef shalamidalav, and it's impossible to determine when that, so to speak, that blink of an eye is, to be able to say that that's bein hashmashes. So now the Gemara goes back and explains these shittas that we mentioned. Amamar, the Tana said, "Matil noisi l'chemish neyam," that we say that that we have this doubt about the time period of Bein HaShemashos, if it's night or day, or night and day. So we give it the stringency of both days. So Gemara says, L'mai hechasav, what halacha is this that we should say that it has a suffix internally that it's both, maybe both day and night? And that is, we understand that maybe it's totally day, that you could say that it would be a difference regarding Matzah Shabbos, that one would have to bring an Ashram Tolo if you did a Malacha Bein HaShemashos, Matzah Shabbos, because we'll say it was still day, it was still Shabbos. You understand that if it is a suffix, that maybe it's considered nighttime, there would be a difference regarding Friday night. That we would say that if you do Malacha Bein HaShemashos, so you have to bring an Ashram Tolo because maybe it was already Shabbos. However, what does this mean when we say the stringencies of both of them, that it's maybe both day and night? For what halacha is that applicable? Why would it make a difference to say maybe it's both day and night? The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi the Beirut of Yeshua in your tumah." The difference is regarding the tumah of zivim, and that is regarding a male zav, that he becomes tummy with a few different ways, either through reis, different emissions, whether they be on the same day. If he gets two, he gets tumah shiva, he's tummy for 7 days. If he sees three even on the same day, then he has to bring a carbon. Or he could even have, as the Gemara learns out elsewhere from a nekeva from a female, that it could be even on different days. That is, if he sees one, let's say, even during Bein HaShemashos, it goes, so to speak, from day to night, which becomes halachically another day. Although it's one emission, since it was two different days, that also will be considered like two. And if it'll have Tumah Shiva. And if it gets one more, it'll be the halach of a carbon. So the Gemara says that this nafkamin about Bein HaShemashos twilight, not only if it is a suffix, if it's fully day or fully night, there'll be a difference if it's maybe part day and part night. As the Gemara brings, Ketnaz, you learn the Mishnah. Rosh Neyom Bein HaShemashos. If someone sees 2 days, he has this emission of Ziva from his male membrane for 2 different days during the period of twilight, let's say Sunday night and Monday night. So then there will be a suffix l'tumah l'karbon. Then there'll be doubt, A, if he's even tumay for the 7 days of tumah, that if it's considered that it's maybe one or maybe two emissions. And also it'll be a suffix for a chiv of carbon, if he has to bring a carbon, that possibly if it's considered like it's 3 emissions, or, and that would be mandated for a carbon, or not. And that is there's a unique doubt over here when someone sees for 2 Bein HaShemashos, two time periods of twilight on 2 consecutive nights. And that is, there's a few different doubts that are going on over here. Possibly it all happened during 1 day, and therefore, so to speak, for the 2 twilights, it'll be, so to speak, in the halachically 1 day that they were both part of the same day, and then he'll have 2 emissions and the 2 nights, but it's 1 day, so then he'll become tamei for the 7 days because of the 2 times that he saw that he had emission. Or it could be that it was 2 consecutive days, and therefore, again, he'll be tamei because of the din that it was on 2 different days. Or it could be that there were 2 days that were not consecutive, that Sunday night was still part of Sunday, and Monday night was part of Tuesday already. And then he'll be tahar, he won't even be tummy for 7 days. Rather, it'll be like a regular Baal Keri that only had 1 emission, and he won't be tummy for 7 days, just for 1 day. And that is because since there were not 2 different emissions of 1 day, and it wasn't even consecutive, so therefore it won't be. And that is, there's a suffix if it was possibly even for 3 consecutive days. And then he'll be a complete zav, even for chiv of carbon. Now how is this? And it's as follows. That maybe during the first Bein HaShemashos, maybe that was Sunday night was totally part of the day. It was still Sunday. And the second Bein HaShemashos was totally part of the night. Therefore, it's part of Tuesday. So therefore, we have Monday that's in between the two of them, and therefore, it will be tar, because it has to be consecutive. Or it could be that both of them were part of the day. So Sunday night was still Sunday, Monday night was still Monday, and therefore, we have 2 consecutive days. Also, both of them could be nighttime. Sunday night was already Monday, and Monday night was already Tuesday, so that also will be 2 consecutive days. Or maybe, if the first one is from the nighttime, that Sunday night was already Monday, and the second was from the day, so then there were 2 times, 2 emissions in 1 day, that's, they were still halachically the same day, and then the person will be tamei 7 days. However, all these cases, there won't be a chiyuv of carbon. Or maybe, that the 2 times that the person saw during twilight, half of that part of twilight is day, part of it is night. And therefore, there will be 3 consecutives. And that is because, and the same would go, even if, let's say, the first one is part day, part night. So therefore, that's already 2 days. And the second night, Monday night, is totally Tuesday already. Or the first one could be totally day. Sunday night is still part of Sunday. And the second one, Monday night, is part of Monday and part of the night, which is part of Tuesday. So therefore, there will be 3 consecutive days of his having this emission of Ziv, and therefore he would be required to bring a carbon. So therefore there's a suffix not only for Tumah, but even for carbon, and therefore he has to bring a Chatzah Sa'if that comes on the suffix. However, it's not eaten because maybe it's not a carbon, and doing a Malika on chulin, on an animal that really is not supposed to be a carbon on this bird, it will make it into an avail. Therefore, it's not eaten, but it would be require him to bring a carbon. So therefore, there's a nafkimin over here that is purely comes out of this circumstance that we say that maybe this twilight is part day, part night. That will make it into possibly three different days, because Sunday night could be, so to speak, part of Sunday and Monday. And then Monday night, it could be totally Tuesday, or even Monday and Tuesday. And therefore, he'll be having emissions on three different days that would require him a carbon, which we would not have if it's only totally day or totally night. And therefore, the Mishnah continues, Ro yem echad ben ashmashas, if we saw one day during ben ashmashas, also there'll be a difference, safek l'tumah, there'll be this doubt if he's tummy for 7 days or not, because maybe part of it is day and part of it is night. And therefore, we give it the stringency of both days, that this twilight, we see it as part of the day and part of the night, and therefore he's tummy for 7 days. Or maybe it's totally from the day or totally the night, and therefore there will only be one emission, and then there will be no tummy. It'll be like a balkari ba'am, and it won't be tummy for 7 days. That is the difference, halachically, that will come out from this doubt, that we do impose this stringencies of not only that it's maybe day or maybe night, but that maybe it's both day and night, and therefore it'll be considered, when you see it during one twilight, it'll be considered that you saw it two times, and therefore you'll have the tumah of 7 days. And therefore, if you saw it two different times during twilight, two evenings following one or the other, that it'll be part day, part night, and therefore you'll be having three consecutive days to require a chumrah, that to bring a carbon of a chatzasayif. So that's the difference. Now the Gemara goes back to elaborate on the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that spoke about what was the time period of Ben Hashmashas. Hagufa kasha. Internally, it's difficult, his opinion. Because Amrit Ezu Ben Hashmashas, you Rabbi Yehuda, says, what is the time period of Ben Hashmashas, of twilight? Mishatishka Acham, from when the sun sets. Kozmach Epidem Mizrach Madimin, as long as the eastern face of the sky is getting red. And that is that's a time period where the bottom of the horizon didn't even darken yet. And that is, as the Gemara says, "Ha'hichsav atachton b'lohichsav elyon." That is, if the bottom part of the horizon darkened, but the upper part did not, that would be lilu. That we consider nighttime already, because that's already past when the eastern face of the sky is getting red. And then you go ahead and you say that when the bottom part of the horizon is dark and the upper part is not yet, that is bein hashmash. That's twilight. That's much later than the time period of the eastern face getting red. So the Gemara gives two different answers to this. Amar Abba, Amar Abba Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Karach v'toni, you have to combine them and learn them together. That is, Ezehu ben Hashmash, is what's considered twilight. Mishra Tishka Achama, for when the sun sets. Kol Zman Shepenei Mizrach Madim, the whole time for when the sun sets, going through the time when the eastern sky is getting red. And even more so, V'hichsa v'tachtam, V'hichsa v'elyanami ben Hashmash, and even it continues on to the time period, even when the lower part of the horizon on the west is getting dark, and the upper part did not get dark, that's also considered bein hashmashas. However, hichsav elyon v'hichsav latachton laila. But if the upper part now got the same color as the bottom, as the lower part of the horizon, that it also got dark, that's considered night. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. It's the whole time period, both from the eastern face getting red and to the lower part of the horizon getting dark. Second pshat the Gemara brings: Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul Hochi Ketani. This is the way you have to learn it. Mishra Tishka Hachama Kol Zman Shepenei Mizrach Madimin. That's yoyim. That from when the sun sets, as long as the eastern face of the sky is still red, that's day. That's ben hashmashes. If the lower part of the horizon got dark and the upper part did not get dark yet, that is twilight. If the upper part of the horizon now has the same color as the lower part of the horizon, that's already nighttime. And the Gemara says that these two opinions about what do we define as the time period of Ben Hashmashas, is these two Amorim go l'shitasam, that Rabbah holds that the share of Ben Hashmashas is larger, and Rav Yosef holds it's a much shorter time period. As the Gemara brings the Itmar, we learn share Ben Hashmashas bekama. How long is the time period of Ben Hashmashas? So Amar Rabbah, Amar Yehuda Mishmol, shloish shechil kemil. That is, there's three parts of a mil. So which the Gemara elaborates. My gimel chil kemil, what does it mean that there's three parts of a mil? If it means that there's three halves of a mil, so name a mil amech, to just say simply a mil and a half. That would be three halves of a mil. Elo tlosa tilsa mil, rather it would mean three thirds of a mil. Name a mil, just say a mil. Three thirds is one. Elo tlosa rivi mil. What does it mean? Three parts of a mil? It means three quarters of a mil. That's how long the time period of Ben Hashmashas is. Rabbi Yosef Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shnei chilkei mil. It's two parts of a mil. So Shigmar asks, "My shnei chilkei mil? What does it mean? Two parts of a mil? Ilem a tre palgi mil? It means two halves of a mil. Lem a mil? Two halves is one. Veil a tre rivi mil? It rather means two quarters of a mil. But then le mechatzi mil, two over four is the same as one over two, say a half a mil. El rather the Gemara says, and we continue on to the top of Lamed Hayamad Aleph, Che tilsi mil means two thirds of a mil. So the Gemara asks, my benai, what is the difference between two thirds and three quarters? That is, everyone knows that three quarters is more than two thirds, but what exactly is the amount that's different? It can be now you're pogging the donkey. The difference is between the time of a half of a donkey, which is approximately between 1.5 and 2 minutes. And that is, it's 1/12 of a mil. That's the difference. That is, the shear of Rabba is 3/4 of a mil, which is 9 half a donkeys. The shear of Rav Yosef is 8 half a donkeys, and a donka really means a sixth, because it's a sixth of a dinner. And that is, if you take 1/12 is the same as a half times a sixth. So a half of a donka, a half of a sixth is 1/12. That is going to be the difference, that Rabba's share of Bein HaShemesh is going to be 1/12 longer than the share of Rav Yosef. And that is Lishitasim, as we said in our Gemara, that Rabba makes the share bigger, that it's inclusive of both. So to speak, when the eastern horizon is when the eastern sky is getting red, and also together with when the bottom part of the horizon is getting dark. Because Rav Yosef makes it a smaller amount, as we said, that Lishitasim, he holds is only 2/3 of a mil, not like Rabba, who holds is 3/4 of a mil.